on being a leader. Now, you've probably heard a lot of people talk about leadership, but I'm going to talk about some of the parts of leadership that's not talked about in this world. Let's start off. We're going to read out of Numbers chapter 13, and this is going to be 1 through 16. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men so that they can spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran to, at the command of the Lord, all of the men who were the heads of the sons of Israel. These then were the names of the tribes of Reuben. From the tribe of Reuben was Shammua, the son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Zaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jethuman. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rahu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Joseph, the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. And from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. And from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabdi, the son of Vophsi. Imagine having that name. From the tribe of Gad, Gaul, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent out to spy the land. But Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Lord, I pray that the words that you give, that they would be planted deep into our hearts, and that we'll take them, that you'd water them and make them grow. In your name, amen. All right, I got a little story has to do with leadership. And this story I read out of Reader's Digest probably about 20 years ago. And it's about a volunteer fire department. This farmer woke up one day to find that his fields were on fire. Now, if you're a farmer and your fields are on fire, your number one thing is to try to get it out, and you're thinking, that's my life's wages. Those are my crops. So he called the fire department. The fire department came out. They started to fight it, and the chief realized that it was too much for them to handle by themselves. So he called the volunteer fire department. 20 minutes later, they see this plume of dust coming down the road as this old rickety fire truck comes down. And these guys were like itching to get in there. They're like, yeah, this is what we do. This is what we're going to do. And so they're coming up the road. And to everyone's amazement, they drove straight into the middle of the fire. They were frantically spraying water in all directions and managed to cut the flames, the single fire, into two, to where the volunteer guys focused on one and the regular guys focused on the other. He ended up saving those crops. The farmer was so pleased that he decided right then and there that he was going to write a check for $1,000 to the volunteer guys. A new newspaper person was on the scene because this, you know, wherever the fire was, that's where they were going to go. Ran up to the volunteer fire captain. He's wiping the sweat and the dust and the ashes from him. He said, "Sir, what are you going to do with that $1,000? He said, "First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get the brakes fixed on the truck." Leadership. Sometimes knowing when you need to get something fixed takes leadership. The question is, where do I start when it comes to leadership? A lot of people have ideas of leadership. You need to do this. You need to do that. And a lot of times we think, what am I going to do? Where do I start? Sometimes you become a leader and you go, where did I begin? How did I get here? We need to start right where we are, right now. That's the best place to start. If you're running a race, guess what? You start at the starting line. If you started a race and then realize, you know what, I need to pick up the pace, you start right then and you run. You start by leading yourself. God gave us one person to practice on, and that's ourselves. So if we want to be a leader, we have to start with ourselves. How do we lead ourselves? Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, man, I don't like that guy. He has an attitude problem. He doesn't like to get up on time. He's always late. Well, that's where we need to start. We need to start there. We need to start with the simple things like integrity and selflessness. Integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking. It's like pushing your cart either back to where the carts are or where they're supposed to go, not leaving it next to the car. Seeing a piece of trash on the ground, going, that doesn't belong there. Picking it up. That's integrity. There's a lot of things in life that we hope has integrity. Buildings, airplanes, roadways, right? If they don't have integrity, guess what happens? Accidents happen. People die. Do you think a leader should be at the top of that list? Integrity? We look at our leaders of our country or our state or our city or wherever, and we go, how did that person get there? They have no integrity. Sometimes we look at ourselves and go, yeah, I need to work on that too. Prior to the message in Numbers, we don't know what Joshua's life was like when he was in Egypt. You know, he said he was a leader. Was there some sort of leadership school that he went through? Did he graduate? Did he get a diploma? Leadership School of Egyptian Slaves. Right? You don't need a diploma to be honest and trustworthy. And if you're waiting to be qualified, you're going to wait a long time. Here's what we do know. God knew Joshua. God knew Joshua. He also knows you. So if we sit back and say, I'm not qualified, I can't be a leader, you're selling yourself short. God knows you. He wants you to be a leader. I have two counterintuitive leadership skills that I want to bring to you. Counterintuitive. A leader knows when to follow. Right? When we think of leaders, we think they're in the lead. A leader knows when to follow. Joshua, who is a leader, followed Moses. Moses followed God. God put them in charge. He made them leaders. But there's always somebody who we're going to be accountable to. Jesus was a leader. He was led by the Spirit, and he did the will of the Father. Those are some great examples for us to look at in our lives. Leadership, a leader knows when to follow. Who do you choose to follow? Is it the people on Instagram? Is it the people on television or in the magazines that you read? We have to look and think about who is leading us. Are they leading us in the path that God wants us to go? A leader, here's number two, a leader knows when to serve. Wow. A leader knows when to serve. Jesus gave us the ultimate example. In Matthew chapter 20, there was an incident that happened. Two of the disciples, their mom came and said, "Hey, listen, I want son number one to sit on your left and son number two to sit on your right." You know what the other 10 disciples did? They're like, "Who are these guys? I'm better than they are." And so they had an argument. It was kind of embarrassing. They were arguing over who was greater. Verse 24 through 28. Go ahead and pull that up. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave." A leader knows when to serve. Jesus was our ultimate example of how it was to be a leader. Here's some things to remember as I close. A leader is not perfect. Nowhere does it say a leader is perfect. In fact, you'll find that most leaders fail. Moses was an imperfect leader, but God chose him. He failed to show God's greatness in the desert, and he was not able to go into the promised land. Joshua made mistakes too. He had a treaty with the people he was supposed to drive out of the country. He forgot to consult God. God would have said, "These guys are lying to you. They actually live here. They're not from far away." But they had to live with those mistakes. Which leads me to life is not fair. Joshua and Caleb, after they came back from doing their spy stuff in the land of Canaan, sat there and heard the other 10 spies say, "There's a lot of great stuff, but there are giants in the land. We can't beat them. We're going to die." And everybody was like, "Oh, you brought us into the desert to die. We could have died in Egypt, but you brought us out here to die. Our women and children will be taken off as plunder." But Joshua, Caleb, Moses, and Aaron, they tore their clothes and they said, "No, God has given this to us." But in the disobedience that the children of Israel did, God said, "You will not enter into the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb." They had to endure the desert, even though they did nothing wrong. There's going to be times in your lives where you feel, "This isn't my fault. I can't believe this is happening to me. I didn't do anything wrong." Life isn't fair. We have to endure the desert sometimes. But the one thing about enduring the desert is that God was with them. He never left them. He maybe wanted to wipe them out, but he never left them. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God never left them. He took them through the desert. Joshua and Caleb had to endure the desert even though they did not disobey God. And lastly, a leader needs to take a stand. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Go ahead and pull that up. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua took a stand. A leader takes a stand. Decide this day whom you will serve. Is it going to be the stuff of this world that's temporary? Or is it going to be God who's eternal? Where do you stand? Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray for every single young person who's here. I pray for every single adult that is here. And Lord, where they are, I pray that they would start where they are. You have given all of us the ability to be a leader. Help us to start with ourselves. Help us to take a stand. Help us to know that you will be with us wherever we go, that you will guide our steps, that you'll pick us up when we fall. Lord, help us to become the leader that you desire. In your name, amen.